go suck a fat one.
I have an addiction to smut. I'm right-handed, but my ball sack is left-sided. Get the B-Man a double cheeseburger. Take the tip and shut up. Hello, Internet, and welcome to episode 55 of Verbal Graffiti with your host, Brian Glass, a.k.a. the B-Man, the People's Degenerate. I'm perturbed this evening, not at you, at myself. Of course, it's Verbal Graffiti. I'm going to talk about myself. How self-centered is that? But hey, it's a one-man operation here, so that's what we're going to do. I've had this topic I've been trying to approach on stage while doing stand-up the past 2 years on and off. I've never been able to tinker it in such a way that it's funny. It always comes across as hateful, spiteful, single-mindedful, whatever full word you want to use. And what am I going to do now? Yeah, now that I still don't know how to make it funny, I'm going to talk about it on the internet for everyone to judge me for. But hey, that's what we do here. That's what we do. The topic is coffee cafes. I go to a lot of them. Probably been going to them the past 5 to 7 years when I started drinking coffee. I drink it black like a real man, like a real American. Hot black coffee, nothing else. But every cafe I've been in, I feel like I'm walking into the headquarters of a LGBTIA plus everything else community center. You walk in and it's just, you walk in, you always have the flag, the gay flag, which has so many stripes. And I'm not going to do a hacky bit about the flag, but let's just say they might as well use the Candyland board game, the board, as the flag. I mean, that's how vibrant and colorful that flag is now. But you go in, and all the baristas have a bunch of pins on, a rainbow-colored hair, ugly tattoos, facial piercings, facial tattoos. They're dressed not so much like it screams LGBT, which is cool. Like, I love that. I'm down with the gays. I think the gays are down with me. And I'm just using that term gay. I'm just LGBT. It's a mouthful. So I'm just going to use gay to represent everybody because that's just what we're doing here. And I slur half of my words anyway. So just trying to make it easier for myself. But I don't understand. Like, when did all the gays get together and decide, we're going to make the coffee cafe on every corner our headquarters, and that's where we're going to shoot out all of our messaging to the caffeine fiends, one of which I am. I want to know, when in history did that begin? Because I've been going to coffee cafes for 7 years, and ever since I've been going, this has been the case. I don't get it. It's not that I'm angry about it. I don't hear anybody talking about this. It seems like a very in your face thing. I cannot be the only one who's noticed this, that every coffee spot is waving the gay flag and very gay, socialist, communist, proud community center, right? It seems to me that there's got to be some. Is there not one barista that's reading some, I don't know, some Thomas Sowell philosophy novels or some, I don't know, some conservative writer? I don't know. Where was the genesis of all this, the LGBT coffee melding into one? What frustrates me is not that this is the case, it's that I don't know the origins of it. And I've mentioned this a few episodes now. I'm reading about the origins of the Bolshevik Revolution, and what I like about it is not the revolution, but that I can read about it, that I can learn about it. But these coffee shops with the LGBT people, like where did this marriage begin? And that I don't even know who to ask because every barista I see is under the age of 30. So I highly doubt they'll know the origins of it. So you go to Starbucks, that's corporate America. They're not even going to delve into that topic. So yeah, I want to know if you have any thoughts on the matter of where this all might have brewed from, to use a coffee term. Let the B-Man know. Let us know here at Verbal Graffiti. My phone number is 203-500-7816. And again, as I've always said, if you have any busty friends, please have them subscribe and like all of us here at Verbal Graffiti. Before we get into a post I found on Reddit, I want to give some love to one of my favorite content creators on X, formerly Twitter, trying to use the most up-to-date term, so X. His handle name is, I'll put it here, it's a Delicious Taco. He does these satire, dark humor, short essays. So they are longer posts on X. They do kind of remind me of some of the things I would write on my blog after time expires, but his are much more well-written, there's much more well put together, concise, funnier. They hit harder. He had a short essay, which I'll post here. I won't read it because it's long, but I was engaged because if you know him, you know the punchline is going to be worth the read, and the punchline, it hit. And that's, I want to give him a shout out. He's one of my favorite content creators, Delicious Taco. Check him out on X, formerly Twitter. If you like Verbal Graffiti, as I stumble on my words here, you will like Delicious Taco. Let's get into something I found on the subreddit for morality. Do we have any of that here? Keeping a butterfly. I caught a tiger swallowtail butterfly today. It's an absolute perfect specimen. My intent is to put it in the fridge freezer so it falls asleep and passes away, and then pin it and display it in a shadow box. That's eerie. I've pinned insects before, but they have all been ones that I have found already deceased or near death. I feel conflicted taking its life, and I'm angry that I feel guilty taking its life. People kill bugs in their homes. People kill wild animals for sport. People use the entire animal after killing it, and some leave the bodies to rot. Their lifespan is less than 2 weeks, and a bird will likely kill it or at least mangle it before it's able to die of natural causes. I want to preserve its beauty at the expense of its life. Is that bad? Would I care if it wasn't a butterfly? Something more unconventionally beautiful? What do you guys think? TLDR, me wants kill butterfly so I can ogle at it forever. Again, this is a tiger swallowtail butterfly. Tell me you have the Jeffrey Dahmer gene in your brain without telling me you have that Jeffrey Dahmer gene in your brain. Anybody who's killing animals for fun and likes to show it off, that's a gene that's a bit scary, eerie, makes me think you're capable of killing human beings. So right off the bat, I'm questioning your morality or where it may be headed in the future, but I want to come into this with an open mind because I do believe the questions you are asking us are, you come with good faith and you want real answers. So we're going to try to do that. I want to, just full disclaimer, right? If I'm going to be on the jury of this morality case, I want to let you know, I'm not a monk. I am not a monk. I am not a person when I see a bug who will open the back door, get the broom and sweep it out the back door and let it back into the wild. No, that's not me. I will fully admit that I kill spiders. I smack them. I squeeze them. I put them in toilet paper. I flush it down the toilet. I eat meat. I eat red meat. I eat beef. I eat chicken. I believe humans were on top of the food pyramid, that we have to take advantage of that. So I am all for killing people for food and for killing insects that are in your household that scare you to death. So I want to make this disclaimer to let you know that your lawyer would want me on the jury of your morality case, because I am not a monk. I'm not going to judge you for killing animals, but I'm going to be a jury. So I got to judge you. I got to answer. What you did, is it moral or is it immoral? Is killing? Let me think about this. Right off the bat, the fact that you know the name of the butterfly, the specific species of the butterfly. So it's the swallow. Hold on, let me look at that again. Sorry, I'm not familiar with all my butterflies. So you knew the name of the butterfly. It was a tiger swallowtail butterfly. The fact that you knew the actual name of the butterfly before you viciously killed that butterfly, to me, that screams premeditation. Because all of us normies, and I am a normie when it comes to butterflies, we call butterflies, we name butterflies by the colors of their wings. We go, hey, that's a yellow butterfly, that's an orange butterfly, that's a bluish butterfly. That's what we name butterflies. You knew the actual name of the butterfly, which makes me think you were seeking out this exact butterfly to kill this entire season. That, knowing that you, this was premeditated murder, morality, I'm leaning guilty. I also have, I've wrote down some other defense, some other things. My second slap on the wrist for you is your excuse for killing this swallowtail butterfly is that you want to preserve the butterfly's beauty. That is a laughable defense. If that's an actual defense you can use, every husband who killed their wife would get out of prison today. Imagine that defense in the court of law. You go, hey, judge, I killed my wife. I gruesomely murdered her by stabbing her 15 times in a row, blood splattering everywhere. But here's the thing, judge, my wife was 25 at the time, and she was never going to be any more beautiful than she was that day. And that's why I killed her, because each following day that she lived, she was going to get a little less beautiful. So I killed her at her peak to preserve her beautifulness. You should not convict me of murder. There's no fucking way a husband who kills his wife or lover and is going to get away with that defense. So I can't get on board with you there. Nope. That's 0 for 2. 3. Oh, the fact that you said that this butterfly, the lifespan of a swallowtail butterfly is 2 weeks. The fact that you killed it within that 2-week period, that makes the murder even more heinous, in my opinion. Because if a butterfly is only living 2 weeks, so in human years, each day of that life is 5 years. So the fact that you killed this butterfly, let's say with a week left to live, that's not a week left to live. That's in human time, that's 35 more years of life. So that's a pretty long extended time. You killed this butterfly during the prime of his or her life. That makes the murder even more tragic. So that's 3 against your case. And 4, finally, the fact you say that if you were not the one to kill the butterfly, that some other bird or some other predator would come and kill the butterfly or mangle it before it dies. Here in the court of morality, we deal with facts. And the facts are that butterfly's last breath was when you were squeezing it with your hand. So you need to take responsibility for the death. Don't try paying the death on some other predator that wasn't able to get to the butterfly before you did. And so that's for... So in a court of morality, I'm... As a foreman of the jury, you're guilty on all charges. You have no morality to stand on. Yeah, you're guilty. Guilty as charged. And I also want to mention, though, you said if this was not a butterfly, if it was not as beautiful, would the murder be as bad as if you killed like a moth? That's a very troubling statement that you made, and let me explain why. That statement proves that you care more about... Let me get my head together. Okay, so you're saying killing a butterfly is more tragic than killing a moth, for example, because a butterfly represents beauty while the moth is not beautiful. The way you explain it, or the way I explain it, that you explained it, you're telling us that you think beauty is more important than life. That there's nothing moral about that at all. So you're basically telling us, like, hey, yeah, go kill me today. As long as there's a professional who does my makeup for the open casket wake, I'm fine with that. As long as I look beautiful at the wake, there's nothing moralistic about that at all. I get where, no, you're guilty. You're a terrible human being. You're probably going to go to hell for this. And when you meet the devil or Satan, tell him we don't know each other. I don't know you. I'm just reading your post. I want nothing to do with hell. Good luck down there in all that fire. Yeah, but like with Jeffrey Dahmer, like with yourself, like the girl from House of Dragons who used to play with bugs, anybody who plays with bugs and is ripping them apart for pleasure, that's no bueno. Don't like that. That's not somebody, that's your energy. I want nowhere near me. So namaste. You fuck with me, I fuck with you. It is amazing how quickly I can turn on somebody who I despise. As soon as they give me a compliment or someone tells me that person gave me a compliment, 180, I love the person. That's what I say when I say, you fuck with me, I fuck with you. You compliment me, I'll give you a hug and kiss on the cheek. I was going to discuss, I've been doing a lot of internal, a lot of self-reflection, and it's become quite obvious, although it's taken me almost two decades to realize this, that I am an emotionally abusive lover. We'll save that for another episode there. That's a little tease right there. I think we'll stick with the coffee topic. I wasn't fucking around when I said I go to a lot of coffee cafes. I got evidence, man. I got a box of all the bags. If I go to a cafe and I like the coffee, I save the bags. This one, I don't remember. Partners Coffee. I think they're out of Brooklyn. They have great coffee. This is their special Christmas batch, a miracle on North 6th Street. Great batch. Get that for next Christmas. Vigilante. Don't remember that. Black Fox Coffee. They have a cafe near Wall Street. Their coffee is a little overpriced, the bag. This was, I think it was like $28. If you buy a 12-ounce bag, whole beans, if you get a grinder, the bag of beans typically goes between like $17 and $23. You get past $25 and you're probably getting ripped off. You get good coffee for low 20s. I go to coffee cafes. And if you're not into coffee and you want to get into it, this is my advice I'll give you. The smaller the cafe, the better the coffee usually is, or the higher quality the coffee usually is. If it's a hole in the wall and it looks a little sketchy, and there's only like one little pop-up window with a guy with tattoos and a couple of plant vines, and that's all there is, and maybe two benches or two stools and one small table that you kind of got to crouch on, you could barely fit your cell phone, that place probably has high-quality coffee, and it's worth spending the money and to getting their specialty coffee. That's just generally, that's what I've found. There are larger venues that have great coffee, but those holes in the wall, like, they don't fuck around. They make coffee. That's all they do. They ain't about the ambience and the music and the environment. They're just, hey, we got a window. We got a coffee machine, and we got the good beans. We got the high-quality cocaine coffee straight from Colombia. Put it in your mouth. So you seek out those hole-in-the-wall coffee places. And as always, here at Verbal Graffiti, we advise, we cheer on local coffee cafes. Try to avoid the larger ones like Dunkin' and Starbucks if you can. We have no agenda against them, but they're not sponsors of Verbal Graffiti. So they don't fuck with us, so we don't fuck with them. There was something else I wanted to discuss, but I can't remember it now. So let's get into what I found on the subreddit for asexuality. Do anyone get weird sex dreams as an asexual? Discussion. Okay, spelled incorrectly. I had a really weird sex dream, and I don't usually get sex dreams. So in this dream, I'm with my best friend and her husband, and they invite me to go with them to the, I don't know, sex club. And so I go right, but then they go off and do their thing and just watch other people blank face go at it right. Then a person comes at me and says, "Do you want to join?" I look at them and said, I'd rather not. I'd rather go get fried chicken, so get up and leave and get chicken, come back to pick up friend, and we eat chicken in car, and that when I wake up. I don't know if was horny, hungry, or if it's because I'm a gray sexual, ego sexual, LOL, that stands for laugh out loud, so weird, but funny. Not the most well-written post. Maybe she, English is not her first written language. That's okay. Evaluating your post, there's nothing written in your post that would make me believe that you're not asexual. There's nothing here that combats that makes me think that maybe you do have a little bit of sexuality to you, or at least you want that physical touch. There's nothing, if anything, your post reconfirms your asexuality. And let me tell you why, because if I didn't tell you why, this would be quite a shitty episode. So this guy comes up to you, this faceless man comes up to you, and he propositions you. He's like, "Hey, your best friends, they're getting it on. Do you want to join in?" And you politely decline. If I say, "No, you know, thanks for the offer, but I'd rather go get a bucket of chicken from KFC." If only every babe would turn me down as politely when I'm attending a sex club, my sexuality, my self-esteem might be at a sustained level where I would not be an online panhandler seeking out laughs and tips from all of you. I wish someone would give me that type of rejection. Because how could I refute that? Like, "Oh, you don't want to have sex with me because you'd rather eat chicken?" To be honest, if I knew a bucket of chicken from KFC was an option, I wouldn't even proposition you. I'd be going straight to the chicken myself. So that is a great response to give to a gentleman who you know, comes at you propositioning something nasty like that. So good for you for that, for being nice to the John who came up to you. So nothing. So that response, again, you're still in the asexual zone. Something I want to bring up before. Let's just leave your asexuality to the side for a moment. I want to question your friendship with this lady you proclaim it was your best friend, your bestie, your one of one, your day one, your ride or die type gal. Is she really your bestie? Let's examine what she did to you. So she invited you to a sex club with her and her husband. And as soon as you get there, the bouncer gives you a bag of condoms and a bottle of lube, and your bestie and his husband or her husband just peace out, leave you there to fend for yourself and for all these sex club fiends as they go in the corner and do freaky stuff, whatever the hell they're doing. We don't care. We're not going to get into that. That is not how a bestie should behave. That would have me questioning my friendship. I don't think this lady is your best friend, because that's not how a best friend acts. She's bringing you to a very uncomfortable environment. You're an asexual, as you say. So I imagine attending sex clubs is not something you do very often, if at all. This is probably your first time being there. And, you know, this is all imaginary. But like, hey, in your imaginary world, this is your first time at a sex club. Your bestie would hold your hand and bring you along and do like baby steps. So your best friend should bring you to the room where they're doing a tickling with feathers, where there's really nothing sexual. This is a very innocent foreplay being done. They wouldn't just leave you there. Like, they would kind of foreplay you to the DP room. There would be steps. They wouldn't just leave you there by the door while they go off in the corner by themselves. That is not... this lady is not your best friend. That should be your big takeaway from this dream. If I were you in this dream, I would go get the chicken and I would not come back. I would make my bestie Uber her way home. And I would excommunicate her. I would never text her again. I would block her on every social media. If I'm you, this is my advice. I want you to ruin her marriage. I want you to have sex, an extramarital affair with her husband, record the audio of that sexual encounter, and then email it to your former bestie and have them break up, have your actions break up her marriage, because she deserves to have her marriage ruined because of the way she behaved as your bestie at this imaginary sex club. That was a mouthful right there. I don't like your bestie. I imagine she's the type of lady, when she got married, I imagine you were her maid of honor. She purposely made you wear a dress that she knew you would not look attractive in, so that would make her look better in her wedding dress. You evil girls do that. She's that type of friend, so you don't want her. And then the other point I want to bring up, I know I'm being a little long-winded here, but hey, I'm the B-man. It's my podcast. This is what I do. You let them, this nasty sex club bestie and husbands of her, eat your chicken. You let them. So they were in this sex club getting handsy with all these ladies of the night and people who can't be shown in public because of their sexual... skeeviness. They were handsy with all these people in this club. And then you let them come out to your car and put their hands in your bucket of chicken. They could wash their hands with a bottle full of Purell, and it would not get rid of all the nasty bodily fluids that are stuck onto their hands. If I were you, I'd tell them, yo, this is my bucket of chicken. Go get your own 3-piece and side of macaroni and cheese. I don't want your filthy, germ-infested hands anywhere near my greasy, fried chicken, you terrible friend. That should be your big takeaway. And a friendship. Never let somebody who just left a sex club touch any of your food. And as far as your asexuality, it's cool. My last bit of advice, and this is important. Do not tell your best friend, bestie, in quotation marks. Do not tell her about this dream. I talk often about my dreams, and I find that whenever I tell a friend or a family member or somebody I know, when I bring it to their attention, like, hey, you were in one of my dreams last night, immediately that person thinks it was a sexual dream, when more times than not, sex had nothing to do with it. But for some reason, whenever you tell somebody you had a dream and they were in it, because it's your subconscious, that person always thinks it was a nasty, gutter, thoughtful dream involving sexual contact, when usually it doesn't. But they think that, so it immediately makes them uncomfortable. Even though that's not your fault, it's better just to avoid that at all. So do not mention this dream that you had to your... Just don't bring it up to your friend or to her husband. Just do the proper thing and end the friendship, because your subconscious is telling you this is not your bestie, and she does not have your best interest, whether they be sexual or not. And my verdict is you are still an asexual. So just push her out of your life. So to your sex club besties and to everybody else, go suck a fat one.